Hey, what's up? Hey, would you please help me welcome all of our locations and campuses right now around the world? Let's just put our hands together. And man, great to be with you guys. We're continuing our series, Losing My Religion. I know I said I was gonna end it last week, but I got a whole lot of feedback about doing one more message. So I'm gonna do one more message back by popular demand. We're gonna do that today. And before we get into the message, if you have your Bibles, you can take them out. You can go to Matthew chapter 21, and I believe there's some notes there if you want to take notes that are in your bulletins. And before we do that, I just want to remind all of you men, I need all of you men in the house at all of our locations to say yes. Okay, that is your answer. Are you going to be here at the men's conference this Friday night? Look, I just found this out. You know, Friday night, we're doing, not barbecue, guys, we're doing steaks. Steaks at the men's conference. It's going to be incredible. Some guys have said, hey, well, I have to work Saturday morning, so I'm not going to miss that session. Listen, it's worth it just to come Friday night. We're going to eat steak. Keith Kraft is going to be with us. He is an incredible speaker, a phenomenal leader. He's a man's man. You're going to love him. I was talking to him yesterday. He's spoken in leadership venues all over the world. It's going to be an incredible conference. So, guys, I really want you to be there. You're going to miss out if you're not there. Even if you can't make the Saturday morning session, just come to the Friday night. You can register. I know you don't like to go online. We've got an easy man registration set up out there for you. You know, put your initials, give $20, and that's it. You can just go on with your day. But it is going to be phenomenal. We want to pack this place out with men. We're going to get the fall off to a great start with that. So at all of our locations, I'm looking forward to see you there. That's this Friday night, Friday the 13th. What do you think of when you think of Friday 13th? That's what I think of. I think of axes, chainsaws, and men's conferences. That's a great day to do it. Come on, give God a hand for that, huh? So we're continuing, or we're finishing the series, Losing My Religion. And maybe it's your first time here at Celebration Church, and you're kind of like, man, I'm kind of confused. I thought that's kind of what we were doing here today. Maybe getting more of religion. Well, actually, we're not. We're here to get more of a relationship with Jesus, not more of religion. And if you haven't been here, I really encourage you to go online and listen to the messages for free, or get the CDs or DVDs out there, or whatever like that, so you can catch up. But we actually went all the way back to Genesis and looked at a guy named Nimrod, how he was the founder of false religion. And we have defined religion as man's attempt to get to God. And when Nimrod tried to do that, Nimrod, his name actually means rebel. When he had tried to do that way back in Genesis, tried to attempt a man's effort to get to God, explain God, define God. When he did that, all it caused was confusion. He built the Tower of Babel. Babel originally meant gateway to God, but then it came to mean confusion. And that's what religion does. Religion, it puts itself out there as a gateway to God, but the end of it is confusion and strife and even war. And then we looked over the last couple of weeks in the life of Jesus, how Jesus, every time he encountered religion, it was like this major powwow, that religion was Jesus' greatest enemy. Religion was always what he was coming up against, the spirit of religion, the idea of religion. And it's like that today. There's false religion in the world, and then there is just religion in general within Christ's body. And that's really what we talked about last week and what mercy over sacrifice really means. So please listen online or catch up, because this is kind of taken off of the last few messages. And we're going to look at another story today in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus teaches us a powerful lesson once again about religion. And we're just going to look at two verses in here, Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19, this is getting towards the end of Jesus' ministry here in Matthew chapter 21. Chapter 21 is the triumphal entry. And so what's going on here? Jesus is ministering, has been in Jerusalem. And what happens is whenever Jesus was ministering around Jerusalem, he wouldn't stay there. He would always go right outside of Jerusalem to a town called Bethany. It was Bethany where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived, the brother and two sisters, and they were real good friends of Jesus and in his ministry, so he would always spend the night out there. So it's the next morning now, and Jesus is going from Bethany back into Jerusalem, and he's going to walk by the Mount of Olives, and here in verse 18 it says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city," speaking of Jerusalem, "he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' And immediately the fig tree withered away." Many of you who might be familiar with this story, this is the story where Jesus curses the fig tree. Now, how many of you will be honest and just say, just taking that story as it is, face value, doesn't that seem a little bit extreme? Come on, be honest. I think Jesus is being a little extreme here. Either he didn't sleep last night at Mary and Martha's house. You know what I'm saying? Because Mary and Martha were always about having parties. Remember, Martha always, she always wanted to stay up late worshiping, Mary always wanted to stay up late worshiping Jesus, and Martha was always, you know, fixing everything and all that. So either he didn't get any sleep last night and he was just grouchy, or the Bible says he was hungry. He must have been really, really hungry, like hungry to the point of anger. Come on, guys, can you relate? You know what I've learned about men? Men can have food anxiety. I have some men out there, and you have food anxiety. As men, ladies, let me help you out. Maybe some of you wives or new brides, new wives here. Men, they like their meals regimented. And if a man, if he doesn't know where he's going to get his next meal from, he starts acting funny. How many of you men can relate right now? So right now, like, okay, once for lunch. If he walks through the house and it's like once for lunch, you're like, I don't know. Watch him. He'll start acting all funny. He was like, "What do you mean you don't know? What do we have going on? And what do you want to do?" Just like, there's food anxiety. And I'm not going to say what the other thing is. Lady, you know, that needs to be regimented too. I'm just trying to help you out. This is the thing about a man. If he just knows, you can hold off for a while, but he has to know eventually at this time and date. Should I just leave it alone like that? Okay, I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it. So Jesus is coming here, and he's hungry, and he sees this fig tree by the road. Now, let me give you a little background about what's going on and why Jesus is excited to get some breakfast on his way here to Jerusalem. First of all, fig trees, okay, in Jerusalem and in this culture and in this area of the world, fig trees are in abundance. They're everywhere, even now over there. If you went over to Israel and the Middle East, in this part of the world, fig trees are in abundance. They grow, there'll be several of them in a place. They're a really big tree. They'll grow to like 25 feet high. They're very fruitful. They produce figs. And so the Hebrews, figs were a staple part of the Hebrew diet. And so there were fig trees all throughout the countryside. And so obviously when people are traveling, when they saw a fig tree and it was the right time of the year and in the right season, you know, they knew they could get some breakfast or lunch or whatever. And so Jesus now, he's going to Jerusalem, and the Bible says here that he sees this fig tree and that the fig tree had leaves. And here's another interesting thing about the fig tree. The fig tree is one of the few plant-bearing trees that actually the leaves and the fruit appear simultaneously. In some seasons, the fruit would even precede the leaves. So if you were in Israel, in this area of the world, you knew when you saw a fig tree, if it had leaves, you knew that it had fruit. It's really an easy plant to read. The leaves and the fruit appear at the same time, or even the fruit actually precedes the leaves sometime. So what was happening here is Jesus saw this tree. He saw the leaves on it, and so he's obviously assumes, okay, great. This tree has fruit. It's got the leaves. It must have the fruit. But then when he gets to the tree, for some reason this tree, when he gets up to it, it does have the leaves, but it doesn't have any fruit. It's got the appearance of a healthy tree, but it lacks the substance. Or spiritually speaking, I could say it this way, the way a verse in the Bible says it. It has a form of godliness, but it's lacking the power. In other words, this fig tree was all about appearance, but it had no substance. And what have we learned from the last 3 weeks? Every time Jesus encounters religion, whether he's picking corn through the field or whether he's confronting the Pharisees, when he encounters religion, he never just like, oh, too bad, and moves on. He never does that. He always stops and he teaches a powerful lesson, because religion is one of the greatest enemies to a genuine relationship with Christ. So once again, he is going to teach a powerful lesson here about this fig tree. It has the appearance, but it has no substance. That's the first thing that we always see with religion. Religion has the appearance, but it has no substance. Or as the Bible says, it has a form of godliness, but it lacks the power. Man, it looks like a gateway to God, but the further you dig into it, it just becomes confusion. And it might have all the pomp and all the ritual and all the ceremony. The leaders might wear things in religious garbs and all that kind of stuff. Religion loves appearance, but you know what God loves? God loves substance. God's not into the appearance. God doesn't look at the outward. Where does God look? He looks at the heart. And we see this once again all the way back in Genesis. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? You know what the first thing that they did? They tried to get a form, an appearance that would be acceptable, where they could still have fellowship with God. Adam and Eve sinned. They realized they were naked. And the Bible says that, what did they do? They go to a fig tree and they get the leaves. What do the leaves represent? Leaves right here. It's just leaves. Leaves, no fruit. Leaves represent the form. Leaves represent religion. This was a religious tree. It was just leaves. It was appearance. It was no substance. Adam and Eve, what do they do? Genesis tells us. They go get fig leaves and they make a little whatever. Fig leaf covering. How many of you know that was a sorry fashion statement? I tell you what, from some of the things I see coming off the runway today, it's not much better than that fig leaf covering. In fact, they're kind of going back to that. It all goes in circles. But anyway, they make this fig leaf covering to cover their woo-woos and whatever out there. But it's just leaves. What does God do after God lovingly corrects them? God obviously instructs them to do this, because here's what they did. God says, look, you better get rid of those leaves, young man. In other words, you better lose that religion. And I need you to go find an animal, find a lamb, and you're going to need to make tunics. In other words, God's saying, you need a blood sacrifice to cover yourself, to bring yourself back in relation to me. It was a type and shadow that just the leaves, religion won't do. But you're going to have a blood sacrifice. The Bible says Adam and Eve made tunics. That came from an animal skin that had to be killed. It's a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, that he was sacrificed for us. And the only thing that brings us back to God is a relationship with Christ, not a bunch of religion. But religion loves appearance, but it lacks the substance. So here's what I want to say to you today. Listen, no matter where you are in your walk with God, listen, focus on what brings substance. As a church, as a pastor, as a lead staff, you know what we focus on? We focus on the things that are going to bring substance. That's what we always talk about, being real, being relevant, being genuine, being sincere. You know, I'll tell you what, you might like me or you might not like me, but I'll tell you this, and you can rest in this. What you see is what you get. The same stovall up here is the same stovall at my house. It's the same stovall at the office. Be who you are. You know what the church, listen, we all have problems. Newsflash. We all have issues. We all have things that we're believing God to change us. But man, we don't want to get caught up in legalism. We don't want to be a church that's all about conformity. We don't want to be a church that's about exclusion. We want to be a church like we talked about last week, where Jesus, he sat down and he ate. That means he came into union with the notorious sinners, with people from all walks of life, those who were following him, those who weren't. The church should be a big tent atmosphere where we come in and we're seeking God and we're finding God and we're being who we are, and you're accepted for who you are. Come on, you can give God a... So he was hungry. Let me just show you this. So remember, in our relationship with Jesus, the purpose is not outward appearance. It's not conformity. It's not rituals and sacrifice. We talked about this last week. Okay, so what... Okay, Stovall, so what kind of appearance should I have? What is the appearance then? What does a Christian look like? Galatians 5:22-23. This is on the screen. You don't have to go there, but you can if you want. We're going to talk about fruit. Well, let me say this. Look what Jesus says. John 15:16, before we go to Galatians chapter 5. John 15:16. Here's what Jesus wants. He wants substance. And the substance... You're going to get this in a second. The substance is the appearance. Did you hear that? The substance is the appearance. So John 15:16, look what Jesus says. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Everybody say fruit. Jesus says, so here's my purpose. Here's what you need to look like. Here's what you need to do. I've chosen you so that, he's talking about purpose now, so that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So now let's look at that fruit. What should we look like? What should be the appearance of a Christian? The appearance is the substance. Here's the fruit, and here's the good news. It's not your fruit, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you have to earn. It's something that comes as part of the package as you focus on your relationship with Jesus. Look what it says in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, there are no rules out there that should mess with these things. We talked about love over law. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? What? Love. Joy. Remember, we talked about religion despises freedom. Religion won't go in. Religion doesn't like it when a party's going on. Religion doesn't like it when people get fested. Religion doesn't like it when people get excited about their relationship with Christ. But look what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love. Joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. Happiness. Oh, good. Festivity. Peace. Look what it goes on to say. Look. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Guys, say gentleness. Gentleness. You thought I'd leave that one out. I didn't. Self-control. What is the last fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. You know what religion does? Religion focuses on these in the opposite order. Religion is always focused on the self-control. It's focused on the do's and the do-nots. God says, listen, you focus on loving me and getting closer to me and having a relationship with me. The self-control will be a byproduct. It'll be a fruit. So here's what a Christian, a follower of Jesus looks like. Someone that is demonstrating fruit. That's why it's so important. Okay, Stovall, so how do I work this out in my life? That's why it's so important, watch, to focus on the things that produce substance. That's why we're so big here at Celebration Church on personal devotion. Having that time with God, spending time with Jesus, focusing on those things, those values, fellowshipping with other believers, getting involved in serving, coming and hearing the word of God, worship, all those things. That is what deals with the what? The substance. Your relationship with Jesus. Because what happens, if you think about, so here's what Jesus, watch this. Here's what happens. So why is Jesus cursing? Why is he taking this extreme reaction to this fig tree? Okay, first of all, he comes to the fig tree. The fig tree is false advertising. It's a religious tree. It has the appearance, but not the substance. You know what that is? That's confusing. Then he comes, he's hungry. He needs to eat from the fruit of the tree. And it has no fruit. In other words, the tree's not serving its purpose. What do we just look at? Do you understand the world needs the fruit of the Holy Spirit? But guess who are the carriers of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? You and I. So what religion does, just religion misses the purpose. It forgets the big picture. You know, for all of our locations, Robert Berger from Peru is here, and Carrie and I used to do a lot of missionary work down in Peru, and I'll never forget one time, one summer, I was exclusively working in the Amazon jungle down there, and it was just an awesome time, and we go through all these tributaries, and we would plant churches, and we would preach the gospel, and a guy that we were down there with that was working for Robert, we're all down there and we're out in the Amazon, and this guy gave him this idea, this other guy gave this missionary the idea, like, look, man, you need to get an airboat. You need to get one of these jacked up airboats. You could do so much. You could help those people so, so much more down there. You could go faster. You could, you know, do all these things. So he put all this energy into this airboat. He was all, man, I mean, you should have seen the appearance of this airboat. It was unbelievable. It had a Cummins turbo diesel engine. I mean, you should have seen the fan on the back of that airboat. And I mean, when we got it, you know, and starting it up and rah, it was loud, man, and it was huge. And we were all fired, you know, and you had to wear headphones and goggles and all that. And we were so excited. And man, the airboat, and we spent weeks, oh, it's the airboat, and everything got about the airboat. And look at this airboat and how we're going to be able to, good intentions, reach so many more people. And we finally get it out there on the river. Jacked up, man, we hit the throttle. Loud, man. Just. But man, this was the airboat, and we put so much energy into the airboat, and everything was about the airboat. So we finally figured out a way how to get the airboat to work. After taking tons of time and energy, if we could get the airboat right up against the bank in the real shallow water, right against the bank, it wouldn't sink so much, and it could eventually get on a plane. But here's the problem. Guess who's always swimming and bathing and washing clothes and fishing out in the bank? The locals, the Indians. And that river is not just a straight river. It winds like this. And so what we would have to do is, and this was my job, we would hug that bank. I mean, this noise, I mean, the Indians were terrified. They thought it was the end of the world. And we would get up and have to hug that bank. And my job was to be in the front of the airboat with my earphones on, with my apocalyptic, you know, ski goggles. Like that. And when we'd come around a bank and when we'd see some Indians bathing in the river, I'd be like, get out of the way, get out of the way. Run for your lives. And you all had seen some of those poor local Indians in their favorite swimming hole or bathing hole or washing. And here we come, man. goggles, you know what I'm saying, machetes from hacking through the jungle. I mean, that we would come around the corners and they would be like, just running for their lives, throwing their clothes back, just hauling into the jungle. But it was the airboat. This airboat had the work, and look at the engine, and look at the appearance. And what we ended up doing that summer is it's like it became about the airboat, and we didn't realize that we were actually hurting the very people that we were trying to minister to. And that's what religion does. It usually starts out with good intentions. Self-discipline or sacrifice, it starts out with good intentions, but it ends up just becoming a bunch of loud noise, and it misses the purpose, the original purpose, for what we're supposed to do in the first place. Our original purpose was not to terrify all the Indians on the way to the village. Our purpose was to be down there and show the love of Christ to people. And that airboat, it's exactly how religion is. Good intentions, loud, a lot of show. But instead of helping, it ends up hurting the very people that it was intended to help. You know what we renamed the ministry that way? We finally got rid of the airboat. You know what we renamed the ministry? WAD Ministries, Wake of Destruction. Because unfortunately, that's what we did in the Amazon that summer. Come on, can you thank God for learning from your mistakes? Can you give God a hand? So, that's what religion does. It misses the purpose. It ends up being about the thing. It ends up being about the doctrine. It ends up being about the way we do this. It ends up being about the appearance. And it misses the entire purpose. So, Jesus encounters this tree. It has appearance and not substance. It's missed the purpose for why it's there. It's supposed to be there to feed people and help people. And then the last thing, and this was the nail in the coffin for this poor fig tree. The last thing, this fig tree was alone. It was a lone fig tree on the side of the road. Now, you know, if you understand plants and all that, which by the way, I am a botanist. I'm only kidding. Some of y'all believe that for a second. I'm not a botanist. I don't even know what a botanist is. It's someone that does something with plants. But anyway, what you do know about plants is the way that plants reproduce and grow and are healthy and have fruit. What does a plant have to have? It has to have what? Cross-pollination. So that's why if you go to the countryside over there, when you see fig trees, they're in patches. They're in groups of fig trees. Why? Because they have to cross-pollinate to bear fruit. A fig tree has to be planted in soil with other fruit producing fig trees, or it won't grow any fruit. So Jesus comes, he finds a lone fig tree. There's no other fig trees around it. It can't cross pollinate, so it can't grow. So in other words, there was no hope for this fig tree. So when Jesus finally cursed the fig tree, appearance, no substance, not confusing people, not fulfilling its purpose, and no hope of ever producing fruit because it's not around other fig trees where it can cross-pollinate, Jesus just put the thing out of its misery. And he taught us a lesson. Religion. It's about appearance, not substance. Religion misses the purpose. And what religion does, religion tries to isolate believers. That is why it is so important that you are planted in a healthy local church with other fruit-bearing Christians where you can cross-pollinate and grow. Come on, the local church is the soil. The local church is the soil where you plant yourself and you cross-pollinate, so to speak, with other Christians where you can truly go. Where you can grow. Psalm 92:13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. In a local church, you plant yourself in God's house, and then the Bible says, then you will flourish in the courts of our God. What do courts speak of? They speak of design. They speak of plans. If you want God's design for your life, if you want to know the plan of God for your life, you cannot be like this lone fig tree and just think, oh, I believe in Jesus and I'm just out there. And I like all the churches, man, so I'm just going to visit a different one every Sunday. No, man, I'm not saying this, if you want to make this your home church, great. There's a ton of healthy, great churches in the Jacksonville area, but you got to get planted in one. If you want to bear fruit. And there are too many Christians out there who are walking around with a lot of religious language, but because they're not planted in a healthy local church, once you get up underneath, all you find is just a bunch of leaves. Thank you all, three of you. But it does that. And here's what religion does. Religion uses the rituals, the minor doctrines, the disagreements. Religion uses that to try to pull people out of healthy churches and isolate them and bring them over to what ends up being a barren place. Oh man, that church, they're not deep enough. Let me tell you about this. Have you studied the angels? That's what, you know what heresy is? Heresy is not the same as error. Error is just when something's just not true. Just somehow the Bible's not true. Heresy is when you take a truth of the Bible, and what religion does is they take that truth and they bring it to an extreme. That's what religion does. And then religion will use that extreme that you can actually find the basic truth in the Bible, but that truth is misappropriated and brought to an extreme and brought to a focus that it shouldn't have. And religion targets and pulls people out of healthy local churches by doing that. Don't fall for that trap. It's the trap of religion. Focus on, watch this. It's real easy. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. For your life and the church that you're in, is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? I could go on down the list. Is it a church that focuses on the things that produce substance? They focus on personal devotion. They focus on teaching you how to provide a worship atmosphere, how to learn the Word of God and not just hear it, but to be a doer, to be a participator in that. That's the kind of church you need to get connected to. That's the kind of church that's going to be a church that thrives because it's focused on a relationship with Jesus and not a bunch of religion that might initially, wow, look at this tree, man, look at all the pretty leaves. But the more you dig into it, it ended up being just appearance with no substance. Let's pray. Father, we come to you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.